from the New Testament for us. Jane?
Good morning. I'm going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 25 to 33. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed out into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God."
Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Jane. Those of you that take notes, you may notice that if you've been here for 23 years plus, like I have, this will be the third time I have preached from this passage. Three times in 23 years. Maybe that's not a whole lot, right? but I was kind of reluctant, but the Lord said no this Sunday from this passage again. How many of you know how to walk on water? Now, don't get smart with me and say ice. Somebody will inevitably get me later and say, "Yeah, I can walk on water. I walk on ice, frozen water." But have you ever seen anybody walk on water? Not ice, okay, but literally walk on water? Anybody? I have never seen anybody do that. My wife Connie and I and our family lived on the eastern shore of Maryland. There's really only one side of Maryland. That's the eastern shore. We lived there for 14 years. That's between the ocean and the Chesapeake Bay. And we were around a lot of water. There's guys, watermen in our church, and worked on the water, tonged for oysters, called crabs and fished, you know, gill net fishing. And I was out on the water with them numerous times and never saw anybody walk on water. Let's see. I know my son Tim fishes some. Mike Tredigo, you fish a lot, right? Mike goes down to the shore, and he goes in some of the ponds and things. Did you ever see anybody walk on the water, Mike? I didn't think so. Tim would have told me, but my son Tim's never seen anybody do that. But now you take Peter. He was your average fisherman, and one day he walked on the water. Yes, he did. One morning, about 3 or 4 in the morning, he had an experience that denied science and the law of gravity. And he walked on the Sea of Galilee. Now, a lot of you know that Connie and I were in Israel and Jordan for 2 weeks just about a month ago, and we were on the Sea of Galilee. And we're there and at this kibbutz, and we got to eat some of that St. Peter's fish, which is delicious. But I could think of the story of Peter walking on the water. No joke. The dude walked on water. Unless you believe the Bible is just filled with lies and that's just a little fable kind of thing. Peter's experience that's recorded here in Matthew 14 is part of inspired scripture, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's given to us, certainly as an example, to tell us this historical fact that Peter really walked on the water. But I think it's also there to inspire us and to challenge us in our spiritual growth and our maturity. His experience, like many character studies within the Bible, both Old and New Testament, can teach us about our life and about our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to use Peter as a model for our Christian life. From Peter's example of walking on water, what I want to do is to study five growth steps. Steps of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth from his experience, which is going to teach us how to face life with all of its challenges, all of its problems, and then to step out into the new directions as God would lead us to serve him in ministry. Now, some of you are going, "Oh man, I wish I'd have stayed home. I don't want to hear that," you know. Well, life is going to hit us with a lot of wind and a lot of storms and a lot of waves. And yes, the Lord will lead us into new experiences, out of the boat experiences. He will do that. And I'm going to challenge you this morning to get ready, because you are here because of a divine appointment. And why God wanted me to speak on this today, November 8th, that God has got some divine appointments for you that He's going to lead you to out of boat experiences. Now, Peter's going to teach us some fantastic things. Now, let me clarify before we get into this. I believe Peter literally walked on the water. It was real. It happened. If you'd have been there, you'd have seen it take place. But we're going to use his life experience here as an analogy to teach us about the things that we're going to face in life and the call of God on our lives to step out in faith for him. Five growth steps. First one, like Peter, we must carefully listen to the words of Jesus Christ. We must carefully listen to the words of Jesus Christ. If you will notice in verse 28, it was read, how serious Peter is as he asks this question. Here's Jesus out on the water. It's night. The disciples are in the boat, and there's Jesus on the water. And here's Peter's words. Notice them. Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Lord, if it is you. Lord, if it's you. And he's very careful here, making sure that the voice that he hears are the words of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you have probably read things or maybe even heard a sermon on it, not necessarily from me, that this was just, Peter was just filled with all kind of doubt. Now, I call it healthy, making sure it's Jesus calling him, and he's not sure about this, so he's making sure, Jesus, is that really you out there? He wanted to be sure, and that is not a bad thing. When Jesus spoke to Peter, Peter would respond in obedience, and he would respond to Jesus and no one else. So when Jesus said, Peter, come out here on the water with me, Peter could easily respond if he was sure that it was Jesus. And I want you to grasp that. He could easily respond if he was sure that it was Jesus. Now, what does this have to do with our daily walk, our daily spiritual life, which is facing the waters of life and then more specifically God's call on our lives? Here's what it's all about. It is our, now grasp this and listen to me carefully, it is our theological and doctrinal foundation of what we believe and who we believe that affects our whole worldview about life. In order to walk on the water of life, we need to listen to Jesus Christ, foundationally. If you don't remember anything that I say, please remember that. Life is filled with many voices. They're all kind of cults. They're all kind of sects. They're all kind of isms. They're all kind of philosophies. All kind of ideologies. All kind of theologies. All kinds of doctrines that are saying, come, follow me, do this, get involved in this. All kinds of things. Causes. All some of them seem to be good and fine. There are voices out there on the seas of life. They're calling us, and some of them call us in the name of Christianity. Some of them call us in the name of religion. Some of them call us and, well, just be good to your fellow man, and you need to do this. This is an important thing, and they're calling us. There are books. There are tapes. There are seminars. There are meetings. There are teachers. There are TV evangelists and TV hucksters. And all kinds of things that are out there, voices calling us to come, get involved. Do this, believe me, listen to my teaching, buy my book. We need to make sure that it's Jesus calling us. I'm telling you, if you remember anything that I share this morning, remember that. Now, if Connie was sitting here, she's down with the kids' church this morning, my wife Connie, she'd say, I don't like it when you use that phrase. And I'm saying it so that it'll help you remember. She would say, don't say that. If anything else you remember, just remember this. But really, remember that. There are voices all over. Causes, isms, books, tapes, etc. calling you. So before we step out to believe anything or get involved in anything, we need to make sure that it's Jesus' voice that's calling us. Is it Jesus speaking to me? To make sure that it's Him means that we need to know His Word. We need to know Jesus because it's all about Jesus. We need to know His voice. Not simply someone using His name or something that's come along to distract us from Him and His voice of what He wants to say to us. Therefore, we must take time and make sure that we know Jesus Christ, we know the Bible, we know Him very well. We must know Him. We must know His life. Jesus, the Logos, the Greek word meaning Word, is central to all of God's revelation to us. His life, His words in the New Testament. And yes, that gets down to biblical interpretation. Yeah, I don't want to go there, Pastor. No, I just don't want to go there. That's not for me. Yes, it does get down to biblical interpretation and biblical application. But I'm telling you that we can only face life and God's call in our lives to make sure that we're listening to Jesus Christ and it is Jesus of the Bible. And what is He saying? What is He saying to me? Not what someone else says He's saying, but what is Jesus saying to me? Some people don't believe that. That it's all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And all these voices that are out there that are begging us, pleading with us, enticing us, distracting us, make sure that it's Jesus and you know His voice. See, Jesus is the key to our beliefs. He's the key to our doctrine. He's the key to our ethics and our morals and our values and how we live. If there are voices that are calling to you and you are not sure, just stop. Just stop and say, I want to make sure that this is Jesus. Is John writing in the first John? He says, test the spirits to make sure that they're of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that they're of Jesus Christ. Because there are spirits of Antichrist and all kinds of things that would distract us in life. Make sure that you carefully listen to Jesus' voice. Second growth step. We must be willing to move out of our place of security, out of our man-made boats. We must be willing to move out of our place of security and our man-made boats. I want you to notice Peter here in verse 29. Then Peter got out of the boat. Once Peter knew absolutely, without a doubt, that it was Jesus, he was willing to take the step and get out of the boat. He made a willful decision. He was making a willful decision. He was willing to obey Jesus and do what Jesus asked him to do. He was willing to do that. Once the theological and doctrinal foundation of our faith is in place, that we hear Jesus and we understand, and that's established, we have to be ready to step out. Are we willing to step out? But I want you to notice what's going on here. Out in the Sea of Galilee, there was a storm and there were waves. Inside the boat, there was at least some element of security and comfort, and it was dry. And Jesus calls to Peter. Peter, come out. I want you to join me out here on the sea. Now, to challenge you for a brief moment to think about that, you put yourself in Peter's shoes, you're inside the boat, and it's the waves are rocking and it's dark, and there's Jesus out there, and now you know it's Jesus without a doubt, and He's calling you, come out and join me. Would you be willing to step out of the boat? For Peter to get to where Jesus wanted him to be, which was God's will, Peter had to be willing to leave the boat. There's going to be a tough area to deal with this morning. Peter had to be willing to leave the boat. For Peter, the boat represented security. And by human reason, it was best that he stay in the boat. It was the only way to shore. However, and this is an awesome thing about Christianity, the Lord is always a step ahead of us. He directs us in the storms of life, or as He calls us to serve Him and to minister to Him, into new adventures and new opportunities for ministry and service. He is always a step ahead of us. All we have to do is to be willing to leave the boat. To leave the boat experience. To go from the boat to the sea. As God calls us to step out in this whole new exciting thing of where He wants us to be and what He wants us to be doing and what He wants to do with our lives. That becomes a boat to sea experience. Now let me throw this at you, and I'll trust the Holy Spirit will touch you. Jesus never wants us to stay stagnant in our little man-made boats. And some of you are. Humanly, we want to ride out the storms of life, and we want to ride out whatever this thing that we sense God is calling us to do and be involved with. We want to ride it out in our little man-made boats of security. And what that means is that there is no faith and there are no risks built on faith. But again, Jesus is always out in front, leading us every step. And sometimes He's going to come, and He's going to come at various times in our lives. And He's going to say, okay, things are going good, you're comfortable, you're secure, life is okay. It's time to come out here. I want you to come out on the water with me. Leave the boat. And you have to be willing to do that. And that is a huge step. I remember Peter. He could have stayed in the boat. But there never would have been the miracle. He would have missed the miracle. There would have never been a miracle while he was in the boat. See, it's very easy to say that we trust the Lord. We trust Jesus. It's so awesome to be a Christian. And He provides everything we need when we're in the boat. But the Lord wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And these are using Peter as this analogy and this growth steps and maturity and ministry. That's where God wants us to move. He doesn't want us to be couch potato Christians where Jesus is okay simply for an hour on Sunday morning, or I get involved in a nice little Bible study group and oh my, we pat each other on the back and we have our holy huddle and Jesus is out there and He's going, hey, it's Bible studies are fine and Sunday morning worship is wonderful and I love Sunday morning worship. But there's a time where you got to say, okay, there's got to be, leave the security. And this gets down to security in life. Who do we trust? Who do we trust? Is it Jesus or is it the boats that we build? See, the Lord may be calling you to teach a class. He may be calling you to lead a group, a Sunday school group, a small group, a cell group. He may be calling you to get involved in evangelism. He may call you to get involved in personal evangelism. Maybe He's calling you to be a pastor, a missionary, to go to Indonesia, to Africa, to Russia, to Romania, wherever. He may be calling you to do that. I don't know. And once you know that it's Him, are you willing to jump over the side of the boat and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do it. And it may mean leaving the security and the comfort of home, things that you're familiar with, and people that you're familiar with and situations that you're familiar with and maybe a job that you're familiar with and it's got all the benefits and wonderful things in life and Jesus is saying, that's fine, but I want you out here. There's certainly many examples in Scripture of that. Abraham left his homeland and his father became the basis for Israel. David left his father's pasture to deal with Goliath. Philip the evangelist in the New Testament left his home to be a witness down in Samaria and in the desert. And many, many. And of course the ultimate. Jesus left the glory of heaven to come and deal with people like us. Amen. Wow. So to move out of our boats of security will always mean change. And that's almost like a four-letter word to some Christians, I think. But it's certainly change according to God's will as we follow Jesus and we change through trusting Him and what He is calling us to do. Peter had to change. Change is synonymous with Christianity. But oh, how we struggle with that. We struggle with change simply more like a two-year-old, that it's time to get up and get ready to go to church, or the five-year-old, it's time to get up and ready to go to kindergarten, and they've got their jammies on, and they've been comfy, and they want their cereal, you know, they want their bagel or whatever they're going to get for breakfast, and you say, you got to go to school, and you're going to church today, and they go, no, I want to stay in bed, and they're snuggle, and they're so comfortable and secure in that, and you know what's best for them. And God is going, time to leave the jammies and the cereal. Are you willing to step out of the boat? See, the best place in life to be is in the very center of God's will with Jesus. That is the absolute best place to be. Do not believe Satan's lie that is not the best place to be. A couple quick examples. Our youngest daughter, Suzanne, many of you know her. She's married now and has three children. But when Suzanne was in college at Nyack College, just a half hour or so north of New York City, Nyack College is a Christian liberal arts school, and they have gospel teams that go out all over on the weekends. And she was involved in the Brooklyn gospel team that went into tough sections of Brooklyn, New York. And she and her team went into Brooklyn once, and they were taught, of course, never to take money, because they were going into a very difficult place. And she and the team that she was with were mugged and thrown down on the ground in Sunset Park. Some of you may have been to Sunset Park in Brooklyn. And Suzanne ended up with a gun to her head. But you know, that's the best place God wanted her to be. And you go, as a parent, whoa. Suzanne, don't you dare go to Brooklyn Gospel Team anymore. You stay home, stay at the college, and stay safe in your dorm room. No. You do what the Lord wants. A good friend of mine, Jack Bowman, and I know this is being taped, and who knows, Jack may click on our website someday and you'll hear his name. Jack is a pastor down in Buchanan, West Virginia. Actually, he's retired now. Jack and I went to Nyack College together. He was a year behind me. Jack and his wife and three sons were from Erie, Pennsylvania. And when he became a believer, God said, Jack, I want you to be a pastor. Now he has a wife and three boys. And so Jack comes to Nyack College. But what Jack had to do was to leave a beautiful home in Erie and a very prosperous business, and said, I'll go to college for 4 years and become a pastor. And he was a very fruitful pastor down in Buchanan, West Virginia, for many years. He had to be willing to leave the boat. And to be willing to leave the boat. Are you willing to step out of the boats that you have made and follow Jesus when He calls? Third growth principle, we must step out in faith to Jesus' words. We must do it. Verse 29, Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. See, it's one thing to be willing. And I have noticed over my years of being a pastor that you can talk to Christians and say, I'm willing to do whatever Jesus asked. Maybe that's where you are today. I'm willing to do whatever Jesus asked. But when He asks, it's, I'm willing to do whatever Jesus asked. But you never step out of the boat. It's always, I'm willing. It's one thing to be willing. It's another thing to do it when He asks you to do it. And it's not for me to say what He's asking you to do. That's between you and Jesus. But when He asks you, you will know that it's Him and it's His voice. So then you're willing, and then you have to step out of the boat. And Peter did that. Common sense and human reasoning said stay in the boat, but he followed Jesus. And Peter put his faith in action. He took a risk that was built on faith, that was built on the words of Jesus. See, it's one thing to be willing, it's another thing to do it. There was no miracle until Peter's feet hit the water. Think about that. See, we're thinking, Jesus, you called me to step out of the boat. Do the miracle. Put something down there, I don't know. Put a glass walkway. But the miracle didn't take place until he touched the water. And it is amazing, being a Christian, how God works. That when our feet hit the water, the miracle begins to take place. See, I am a living example of that. I can't do anything because I'm a very shy, quiet person. Now, for those of you that know me for the 23 years that I've been here, I'm the pastor. I preach, you know, I do leadership things, et cetera, et cetera. But I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't teach. I can't sing except by God's power. And I'm not saying that as a nice little Sunday sermon thing, you know, oh, it sounds so good. Again, it may seem strange, but I am a very shy person. In 1968, God called me to step out and serve Him. I became a believer. Many of you know my story and so forth, my testimony. But He called me into being a full-time pastor in 1968 while I was still in the Navy. And I had to step out of the boat of my security and leave the Navy. And if you've been in the military, you know there can be great security there. I had two children. But this shy, backward guy from a little town in southwest of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, walked on the waters of life because I stepped out of the boat and said, Jesus, I'll go and do whatever you want me to do. And to God's glory and to God's credit, they took this shy, backward kid, and I've been able to preach in the former Soviet Union and to preach and to teach in Macedonia and Romania, Dominican Republic. Not because of me. Because when I stepped out of the boat, He said, I'll take over. I'll take over. See, for you, it may be simply as a Sunday school class. It may be leading kids' church. It may be a small cell group. It may be singing on Sunday morning. It may be leading. It may be witnessing. It may be going overseas. I don't know. See, it's one thing to be willing. It's another thing to step out before you see the miracle take place, because a miracle isn't going to take place until your feet hit the water. Are you willing? Fourth growth step. We must keep our eyes on Jesus and not circumstances. We must keep our eyes on Jesus and circumstances. Verse 30 is kind of like a sad sight. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Many of you know that story of Peter. He walked on the water. What a sad but realistic sight. And I love it. I love it. I love that part of the story. Peter begins to walk on the water. Can you see him? He's walking and he's watching Jesus. He's going, hey guys, I'm walking on the water. I don't know. I don't think he looked back to the boat, but I can almost say, hey man, I'm cooler than you. You're stuck in the boat and I'm walking on the water. And he's walking on the water, but all of a sudden the wind and the waves and all these things of life and distractions. It came into his life. And he gives in to all of that, and he begins to sink. And Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and he watched all those circumstances, and fear entered his heart, and the distractions begin to pour in. And he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus saved him. So if you're going to continue to walk on the waters of life, in the arena of whatever he's called you to do, you must look to Jesus. That's a nice cliche phrase, right? Look to Jesus. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Great songs and things for banners and posters and Christian calendars. But you can't look at the circumstances. You can't let the distractions pull you away from Jesus. See, life is tough and the winds of life are tough and it can be powerful. Even in ministry, whatever ministry, pastor, evangelist, missionary, Sunday school teacher, small group leader, you name it, life can be tough and there can be circumstances and there can be difficulties and there can be distractions that will pull you away from what Jesus wants you to do. And you begin to look at the surrounding environment all around you and you begin to sink and our vision will be clouded by life and difficulties and causes, and we might give in to the tyranny of the urgent, and we sink. See, it's one thing to get all excited about serving Jesus. It's one thing to step out in faith and be just blown away by, wow, look what Jesus is doing in my life. I'm walking on the water. I really am preaching. I really am singing. I'm really leading this small group. I'm really going overseas and I'm witnessing to somebody. It's one thing to do that and to say that, and then all of a sudden something else comes along and it's no longer all about Jesus. It may be about numbers and money and nickels and noses, you know, when you're looking at avenues and measures of success, et cetera, et cetera. It's so easy to get excited about Jesus when we're in the middle of what we're doing that we forget Jesus. We're all excited because we're in the middle of something. And some of you may not get that, but some of you will. I've shared my story over the years a number of times. Peter walked on the water because that's where Jesus wanted him. That was God's will. And while Peter's vision of Jesus is clear, Peter's vision of Jesus and what Jesus wanted him to do was clear. There was no problems. Now, what does that mean for us? In order for us to continue to walk on water, we can't allow the realities of life and all of the distractions to cause us to fear and to keep the clear vision of Jesus clouded and what he has called us to be and do. Some call this mission drift. It's where we allow the distractions of life to keep us away from what Jesus wants us to do. In 1968, God called me to full-time ministry, and I go off to Nyack College, my wife Connie, and we had two children. And I'm going to be a minister, and I'm going to serve God. And it was wonderful. College was great. I had a full-time job as a janitor in Bergen County. And the GI Bill paid for my tuition, and I had a job to pay for everything else. But what a huge step it was to leave the security of the Navy in Pensacola and go there not having a job, not knowing where we're going to live, and all those kinds of things, and two kids. God provided a one-bedroom apartment. It became wall-to-wall dressers and bunk beds, and Connie and I slept on a pull-out sofa in the living room for 4 years. I'm not saying that to complain. I'm saying that when you keep your eye on Jesus, you do what he asks you to do, and you don't say, well, I can't be here, Jesus, unless you give me a five-bedroom, five-bath mini McMansion, and then I'll stay here. 4 years there, and I graduate debt-free with good grades, thank the Lord, and I become a pastor in Connecticut. Now, here's part of the story that I don't tell very much. I ask you to be patient today. 1968, out of the Navy, go to college in 69, and graduate and become a pastor in Connecticut. And then after there, 3 years, we're going to go back to Pittsburgh area and lived in our hometown where we grew up, and I'm going to graduate school, working on my master's degree, and I get a fantastic job in the steel mill in Pittsburgh. For a while, it was the hardest, dirtiest job I ever had in my life. But learned a lot of great things and had some fantastic divine appointments. And so, after several years in the steel mill, God began to tug at my heart. It was time to go back, 3 years as a matter of fact, back to a church. But now, steel mill salary was awesome. I was making a lot of money, not a lot, but plenty of money to live on. And we had gotten comfortable. Our hometown where we grew up and involved in church, in a good church. And we were going to buy a house. Boy, did I get distracted from what God had called me. We went looking at houses, and we were going to put a down payment on this house that it was out at this nice area where there were deer. Yep, there were deer there and other things. And I was like, wow. But you know what that meant? I'd have never been back being a pastor. But isn't it amazing? It is amazing to me how God is always one step ahead of you. And God shut the door and we didn't get the house. And it was like, wow, Lord, we wanted this house, but okay, you shut the door. And when I decided to go back, and we ended up moving to the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and when I went to the steel mill and I told all the guys that I work with that I was leaving, they said, you're crazy, this wonderful job, and you're rising up in the ranks and you're going to get a promotion and all that kind of stuff. And I said, no, it's God wants me to leave. And they said, you're leaving something wonderful. I said, well, I'm going to something better. But would you know that that steel mill shut down 8 years after I left? And if we would have stayed there, the distraction was this house and good job and money and everything, you know, and the environment of southwestern Pennsylvania, that I would have missed the Eastern Shore of Maryland. And that's where my oldest daughter met her husband-to-be. I'd have missed Edinburgh Road Chapel and New Jersey. And my youngest son, Tim, meets his wife here. And my youngest daughter, Suzanne, meets her husband here. I'd have missed knowing you. All for a nice little house with a good pay that the steel mill shuts down after 8 years. But the point is, see, the distractions were awesome. They were so alluring. Fifth growth principle, quickly. We must rely upon the Lord's ability. We must rely upon the Lord's ability. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. See, I believe, and you're going to think this is kind of weird, I believe that Jesus allowed Peter to sink on purpose. See, Jesus could have had it all laid out. Peter's going to walk on the water. He's going to be a cool dude, you know. And if he gets fearful, everything's going to be fine. No, I think Jesus allowed him to sink. And if you've ever been in that kind of situation, and I have been there, I believe the Lord allowed him to sink so that Peter could fully realize, that his walking on the water was solely by the Lord's power and not his own ability. And the Lord lovingly reaches out and saves him. And once we step out of the boat, we can't get cocky, we can't get arrogant. Look at me, look what I'm doing, look, I'm a pastor. You know, I teach a class, I sing, I lead, I do whatever I do for the Lord, it's for Jesus. Look at me, everybody. You will fail. You will crash. But praise God, Jesus knows, and he's always there, and he's waiting if we cry out to him. I say, okay, now you've learned. I better wrap things up, okay? Just in conclusion, listen to Jesus, like Peter, listen to Jesus. Be willing to move out of your boats of security. Step out in faith at his call. Keep your eyes on Jesus and not life circumstances and distractions, and rely on his ability even when we see that we're going to fail. And he will permit failure to come into the scheme of things and into the big plan so that we learn to trust him. Jesus is calling you. He's calling you to maturity. He's calling you to ministry. Will you step out of your boat of security and obey him and trust him? Let's stand for prayer. Thank you, Father, that you've given us Peter as an example. And I know that you're speaking today. Your Holy Spirit is wooing some to come out of the boat of security, to know your words, to step out in faith, to trust you. And then we will see the miracle take place. Thank you that we can be here today. And as we leave here, let us breathe in your presence, your awesome presence. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. We're dismissed.